Hey there, dear listeners. Before we get started, we want to give a huge thank you to the official sponsor of this miniseries, Nimble, a fast tactical RPG. If you like what you hear in this episode, Nimble is launching a Kickstarter today. If you're listening before March 12th of 2026, you can follow the link in this episode description and back the Kickstarter for discounted hard copies and PDFs of the game. You can also visit nimblerpg.com to get PDF-only versions of the game and access to the Hexbinder class that Candace plays throughout the series for a 20% discount with the code MHHF. Thank you so much to Nimble for sponsoring us, and we hope that you'll check out the game. It really helps both us and the folks at Nimble when you do. And with that, on with the show.
Gather close and attend my tale, for I am a chronicler of legends most awesome and epic. In an age long past, in the vast land of Maul, there stood the Five Kingdoms. These kingdoms lived in peace, but one day, one rose up against the others, eyeing all of Maul for themselves. The dreaded land of Arcadia. They set forth to conquer, led by the wicked Rat King. Wicked like bad, not wicked like cool. Anyway. But the Arcadians made a dreaded mistake and attacked during the day, hoping to catch their foes off guard. For the land of Maul was home to day-walking giants, vicious to us regular-sized folk. They exterminated the Arcadians, and the Rat King vanished. These events are known as the Great War of Maul, and peace has reigned ever since. But this be mere prologue, for now things have become weird. Arcadian scouts have been seen in the western reaches of Maul. Rumors have spread the Rat King yet lives in Arcadia, scarred from his failure in the Great War, biding his time until he can take over Maul once and for all. Welcome to the Legends of Maul, Treachery of the Rat King. I'm your Dungeon Master. I'm your Dungeon Master, Casey Pappas. And with me are our players, ranked least to most likely to spend all their quarters at the arcade.
Ooh,
true. Okay. Actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
First, Rowan McStay.
Howdy, I am Rowan McStay, they, them, and I spend all of my quarters on the laundry machine. So I don't have any left for the arcade.
Next, Robin Langenhop.
Hi, I'm Robin Langenhop, they, them, and I love pinball. I am obsessed with pinball. I think it's the coolest thing ever, and I'm no good at it. I have zero skill whatsoever. I just admire the aesthetics and the technology from afar, generally, because I will fail instantly.
Is your character a pinball wizard?
Oh, ooh. I wish. That would be amazing.
And next is the first of our two guest players, Jen De La Vega.
Hello, I'm Jen De La Vega. My pronouns are she, her, and I'm spending all my quarters on Tapper, which is a game where you are serving beer to patrons.
Wonderful. I don't know Tapper. That's fun.
It's so much fun.
Is it an arcade game?
Yes, yeah. It's an arcade game, and you have a jaunty mustache.
You sure do.
I've got a jaunty mustache. I had a dream that I had a jaunty mustache, and it was so good.
And last, but certainly not least, our second guest player, Candace the Magnificent.
Hello, everyone. My name is Candace Marie, or Candace the Magnificent. My pronouns are they, she, and a little sprinkle of he. And I spend all of my arcade tokens probably at the cabinet next to Robin playing some Addams Family pinball, which is my number one favorite.
Classic. Very nice.
Solid choice.
Every penny I have
goes into the machine.
And now that you know our players, we're going to delve into the game, for we are playing a new game this arc. For a brief explanation, for this adventure, we will be using Nimble, a brand new, light
lightweight RPG by game designer Evan Diaz that's built to be super friendly for TTRPG beginners or those of us who really just like to get straight into the action. If you don't know Nimble, don't sweat. It's super easy to pick up and a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
With that being said, shall we dive into the world of Maul?
Yes, please.
Yay! Yeah.
Night. The pale full moon shines against the dark sky, a diamond on purple velvet. The warm air hums with electricity, calm but alive. Bright beams of moon's light pass through a glass dome, and once through, fall to the off-white tiled earth far below. Here it is joined by the glow of hot pinks and electric blues cast from various neon fixtures softly humming. The land of Maul. For though the giants depart this realm at nightfall, it is now when its true inhabitants are at their peak. We pass quickly over cold earth, marking our distance by lengths of tiled earth, passing kingdoms like Jacopenny of their felted forests, the bartering hub of Kiosk, the land of the Dill Lords and their glittering towers, finally coming to the vast lake of shimmering waters. We glide past its ever-flowing falls and over its dangerous tides. But as we depart the roar of these churning waters, we are greeted by a new cacophony, the sounds of war. We zoom in. On the lake's western edge, two forces of critters clash, each armed to their oft-rodent teeth in armor cast from cans of new coke, swords of toothpick and sewing needle, bows of elastic. A roving band of cutthroat marauders seems to have drawn the ire of King's Court's noblest knights and are now paying the price. And as we approach, several of these heroes noticeably rise above the den. The first is a rather regal-looking mouse, sword flashing in the moonlight. He almost dances in combat with the bandit. Rowan, could you describe Prince Henry Lightpaw and how he dispatches his opponent?
Yes, I can. Prince Henry Lightpaw is a little brown mouse with very sharp, intelligent eyes, kind of darting in every which way, looking for every opening in his opponent's armor and defenses. Henry is a lover of games and competition, and so it is with a very competitive spirit and an eye for strategy that he is now fighting his opponent. He wears the signature green tunic and mothwing cloak of Jacopenny's royal family, as well as some tarnishing makeshift armor that he has painstakingly crafted out of the remains of a gold-plated bracelet. His clothes are well-made, but also clearly passed down from other more important royals than himself. But he also wears the red and gold standard of someone who is currently fighting for King's Court. And that is because, technically, Henry is a hostage in King's Court. Since Jacopenny sided with Arcadia in the Great War, they've had to basically send a hostage as security for their continued allegiance. So now, as the sixth and illegitimate son of the King of Jacopenny, Henry was easily the most convenient option and has been raised, in a nice way, as a hostage to King's Court. He is, however, fiercely loyal to the Queen and to King's Court, and he carries a wooden sword made of a toothpick that he is desperate to upgrade to the metal sewing needle sword of the elite Queen's Guard. And so Henry now, are we in initiative right now?
Yes. So you are in combat with a bandit. Go ahead and roll an attack.
Yes, Henry will roll an attack with his sword. That's not going to be very good. Let's see.
Oh, no.
Oh, the attacks are rolled. So you roll the damage of the weapon, right?
Yes. So you roll the die listed on the weapon. If you roll a 1, you miss.
Oh, actually, that was great then. That was an 8, which is I have a D8. So that's an exploding crit, I believe.
Oh, fantastic. Go ahead and roll again.
13 damage.
Whoa.
Ooh. Describe it.
Henry waits patiently for his opponent to lunge at him and then immediately steps to the side and throws a sort of cross slash against his opponent's torso.
Your opponent falls to the ground, defeated, and you continue on to the next. Moving away from Henry, we notice quite a different fighter. Almost faster than the eye can see, a rabbit engages in a series of acrobatics against a stunned foe. Robin, could you describe Senna and their attack on this poor bandit?
I would love to. Hello there, my name is Senna the Bun.
Ooh!
I'm a California rabbit. I've got a white body with black ears, black nose, and black paws. I'm wrapped around with a yarn-based kilt that some old Betty left behind in the King's Court food area. It might have been about to be a scarf or a tea towel or maybe even just a baby sock. We don't really know. She didn't get very far along with it. It's still got the long end of yarn trailing off of it, but Sinner's got it wrapped around them like a kilt. And they come in. They come in
so
wielding the crochet hook from the half-finished project, leaping down from a nearby bench to swing down upon their foe.
Woo, wow.
Go ahead and roll to hit.
All right. That is a 7 on the die plus my 2 strength for 9.
Ooh.
Well struck, Senna, well struck.
And how do you defeat this bandit?
I swing down upon him, leap in from the bench, smack him across the head with my crochet hook, then pull him in and whack him 2 more times with my big old feet until he stops moving before me. Bah, 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 bah.
This bandit goes flying, and you are off like a shot to the next one. Moving away, we come across quite a different battle. Drawing in a confused marauder wavers a living mushroom. Limbs, eyes, and all. Jin, could you describe Lila and how she defeats this guy?
Yeah. Lila Oysterling is a quarter pound purple mushroom from the wilds of Northridge.
Yeah.
She's got like a 6-inch brim like a portabella, but she's purple. She's wearing a twisty tie blindfold over where you think eyes would be. She's not blind. She can see everything. She knows.
That's so scary, though.
Everything.
Oh, no.
She hears voices. She's often looking like she's tilting her mushroom head as if receiving a broadcast. She is also wrapped in cheap hides, purple and yellow onion skins from the Lee of Cheapo. She is carrying...
This campaign is going to be me figuring out the puns.
Like, what exactly are we saying here?
Yes.
She is twirling a coffee stirrer that is... enforced with a straightened out paper clip, and as it whooshes around her head quickly, she casts Zap.
Oh!
Which is a cantrip, yeah.
Oh, hey!
Go ahead and roll.
Rolled a 14.
Hey, hey!
All right.
Incredible. What do you do to him?
What just happened?
As the sound of the coffee stirrer starts to hum from the speed above her head, she communes with nature, the local socket nearby, and a bolt of lightning travels from the wall to her coffee stirrer to the bandit, and he gets fried.
Yes!
Senna, did you know she could do that?
I don't understand what she could do at any given moment.
All right, well, best to stay on the good side.
And that was our traffic and weather together.
What? One of these things?
Lila, are you quite all right?
Sorry, it's, that was giant speak. Sometimes it comes out.
Lilo, I never understand what you're saying.
It's Lila.
It's what?
Nothing.
And then, moving away from this electrocuted husk of a former bandit, we come across one more warrior. Attacks deflecting uselessly off her highly decorated shell. Candace, could you describe Susie and how they dispatch their opponent?
Yes, Susie, the camera pulls in on Susie, who is in a very defensive stance. Her shell is kind of hoisted up high on her shoulders, head kind of down, eyes narrowed at this person in front of her. She is a cherry head tortoise, so she has kind of like a black brown kind of overall skin and shell with splashes of yellow and orange and red that make up like a little design all over her. Her shell has been broken in several places, as you said, Dungeon Master. Someone has cut out little shapes made of duct tape and kind of stuck them all over the shell to repair the little holes to make sure that she's still like able to move around. They are clad in some really interesting robes. There's like some shoelaces that they have wrapped around themselves as like a little belt to keep them in place. There's kind of a, it's almost like a crepey looking fabric. Like someone has like torn the lining out of like a pair, like a nice pair of pants, like a silken crepe that has been fashioned into a little bit of a hood over her, like a little cowl over her head as well. And she lashes out her arm. And with it comes some yellow, kind of golden-looking lightning. That is her power. She is a hexbinder. And I would like to try and hex this person.
Ooh, okay.
That is a 4. Yes. Plus 1, so 5 points of damage.
How do you defeat him? He's already tearing. He's a minion. There's not much to him.
Susie looks at him and... points this like kind of long claw at this creature and does 1d4 plus 1 damage. The little bolt of energy kind of comes shocking out of her finger and finds its way right directly into this bandit.
He and falls defeated at your feet. Joining all of you, there is one last character. In the midst of a swing, a long spear comes down and slashes a bandit. Joining you is the mighty Commander Roscoe, a lizard in Her Majesty's service, and one of the Queen's Guard. The best of the best, the Queen's Guard are the standard for chivalry, a cut above the average warrior. His armor is beautiful, fashioned with bottle glass, hand cut with a diamond back in King's Court. And as he slashes down this marauder, he says, "When they called me out here, I thought it would be for real Arcadians. Instead, I'm stuck babysitting. Waste of my talent. Do you even train?" And then slashes down another bandit. These guys are easy peasy. And as the bandit crowd begins to clear, you find there is one bandit left who, looking around at a situation, quickly throws his little mouse paws up and says,
All right. I don't mean no harm."
"That's too bad, because we mean extensive harm."
"Do you yield, sir?"
Yeah. I yield. I surrender. I give up. Whatever it takes."
"Are you here in search of food?"
Well, that and other people's money."
"Well, no. Those are actually two different things. Are you here in search of other people's money or food? Because we can offer you food.
What?
It is the Queen's policy to give food to those in need, but you cannot take people's money. That's sort of not part of the deal."
"Do you eat money?"
Can't Nana Price and Mouse be after both food and money?"
"If you want to be after money,
Surely you could just get yourself a job in town. There's plenty of things to do for an enterprising young rat, in fact. Make a home here, a life.
If you don't, talk to the hand. I mean, get out.
What Lila said, we don't have time for charlatans.
Rest assured, you do not want to be on the wrong end of her hand.
In that case, I'll take the food and be on my merry way. You know, what I'm saying.
I would like to dangle a few crumbs of food in front of him.
Hmm. Okay.
And say, I'll give you the food, courtesy of the queen. However, who sent you?
Well, it depends on your definition of who sends who these days, really.
No, I think it should be rather clear. Did someone give you an order to come here?
Yeah, my bandit captain.
Right, who's that?
That guy.
He points to one of the fallen bandits.
Sorry, that was me. I took that one down.
What, young man, what do you plan to do once you run out of food again?
Well, I was thinking of starting my own business. Now that my old boss is, now that the hourglass has run out on him.
Quite right. As the elder of the king's court, one of many, I would like to know what kind of entrepreneurship, what kind of business would you like to start?
Well, there's always work over in Kiosk.
Quite enterprising, indeed. Lots and lots of competition in the market. If you run out of steam, come on back to us and we'll see what we can do.
Henry leans over to Just Sitta and goes,
well, if he really needs a job that badly, he can always apply to the Queen's Guard. If they let Roscoe in, it can't be that difficult.
I certainly hope not. I'm still trying to get up from third alternate.
Oh, bother. I just submitted my application earlier today and I'm on pins and needles waiting for the results.
Roscoe, like, turns and shoves this one bandit and says,
be off with you. We don't need any more of your thievery and all that kind of hogwash. Get out of here.
And the bandit bows to all of you bizarrely and just runs.
Nice.
And with that, you realize that you must return home pretty quickly. The moon is no longer in the sky, which means that dawn fast approaches, and with the dawn comes the giants. You depart for the town of Tacobal, a small province in the kingdom of King's Court, perhaps a 2 hours walk from here. Along the way, as you walk, Roscoe leads the group. His pale armor shines in the pinks and glows of the far-off lights of Maul. And as he does, he looks over the four of you and says,
well, you didn't fight too bad, all things considered.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Sina, do we have to sound that desperate?
I'm totally buggin'. That was my first time.
That was your first time in battle, Lila. That was you. You acquitted yourself brilliantly.
Very well done, Lori. Very well done.
Thank you. Who's Lori?
Sina, do you do this with other people? It's Lila. She's introduced herself several times.
Sure, I've got something in my very large ears.
She goes up to your ears and goes, Lila, 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 Lila!
What was that?
And as you walk, Roscoe pulls up alongside you, Henry.
Oh, wonderful.
And says,
so, little birdie told me somebody's looking to join the ranks of the noble Queen's Guard.
Ah, which little birdie was it? Was it Bartholomew? I may have to kill him.
Well, I can't reveal my sources, but, hey, just, guy to guy.
Oh, yes, I love these conversations.
let me give you a little piece of advice. Nothing personal, kid, but, I'd get used to heartbreak if I were you.
Oh, sir, whatever gave you the impression that I am not?
Well, I mean, you're not exactly Queensguard material.
Interesting. You see, I've always been under the impression that the Queensguard is more of a merit-based system, as opposed to dependent upon the circumstances of one's birth and lineage, but...
Oh, your birth and lineage, you being a jack-a-penny.
Right.
And last I checked, they sided with the Arcadians in the Great War, which we won. Hence, you being a wart.
Sorry, a ward? Did you say ward?
Yeah, that's what I said, a wart.
Actually, semantically, I think I am actually a hostage. But yeah. Yes, as you said.
Sure, a hostage, a wart.
Right.
You're a little fancy boy. You're never going to go on a mission where you're not babysat by a real Kingsguard. Like me.
Oh, well, I suppose we will just have to see about that, won't we?
He turns to you, Senna, and he goes, yeah, am I right?
You know, I'm really trying to get into the Queensguard, but you're just such a gross little gecko. I don't really want to talk to you anymore.
Oh, interesting. You coming from, what was it? Petlandia? You and, I heard you, also points to Susie. I heard you both come from that prison dominion. Heard that place was abandoned after the Dreadwing attacked.
We are proud survivors of Petlandia. We lived amongst the giants and lived to tell the tale, isn't that right, Susie?
That's right. In my experience, not all the giants are evil, but the ones there were quite, well, they were quite ruthless, indeed.
Oh, so it would seem that the two of you, Susie and Cinna, have seen quite a lot of the heat of battle. When was the last time, Roscoe, that you found yourself fighting anyone more formidable than bandits, sir?
I mean, take last Tuesday. I fought this really tough guy.
Yeah, well, aren't you just chock full of interesting anecdotes?
I seem to recall you actually just using your sticky fingers and climbing up the wall so that the rest of us would do the work.
You know what? I don't need this. I'm part of the Queen's Guard. And he points to you, Lila, and he's like, and I don't even know how to insult you, so.
What's the 411? Why is there such a conflict? And how did you even get on the Queen's Guard anyway?
All right. Seems like my credentials are under attack, so.
And it's about that time that you start to approach Tocobel. And one word about the world of Maul that you as characters would all know is that the world of Maul is separated into two separate areas, essentially. There is the Over Maul, which is where the giants walk around, and then there is the Under Maul. So there's Upper Tocobel and Lower Tocobel, with Lower Tocobel being where everyone lives and sleeps and walks around. However, the Over Maul is what connects all of the Under Maul. It's not connected, so if you need to head to the neighboring villages of Vindys or Natans or the capital city of Round Table where the queen lives, you'd have to pass through the Over Maul to get there.
Yes. Yes, of course we would, Casey.
And so as you round the first few giant chairs and enter Upper Tocobel, everybody roll perception.
For these, we roll a d20?
These are d20s? So in a little bit of a check-in on Nimble, there are four main stats: strength, dexterity, intelligence, and will. And all of the individual skills come from those. It's a little bit more of a streamlined version of things you might see in like D&D. Perception falls under will. So let me have all of your perception checks, starting with, let's go down the list, Henry.
That is a 4.
Okay.
Buddy.
Henry is seething over Roscoe right now.
Okay.
Oh, 16. My ears are perked.
13. She is moving her head. She's swiveling her head, looking around.
Okay. And Susie.
9. Susie is kind of has a lot of her attention on Roscoe, giving him a very vicious look now that he has insulted Henry so much.
Yeah.
And I am just going to go ahead and have Roscoe fail the check. We're not even going to roll.
That's a great choice, buddy.
He's so full of himself. I imagine he fails every perception check, except the one to look in the mirror.
What a guy.
As you go, Senna and Lila, you are a little less taken in by Roscoe's antics. And so you actually notice something, or rather the lack of something. There's no guard on duty.
Hmm.
At night, there's a guard standing by to alert for small folk headed into Lower Tacobal. And there was certainly one when you left.
Oi, Lori, shouldn't Benji be on right now?
Yeah. Where'd he go?
That's a good question. Susie, do you know why Benji might not be at his post?
I haven't any clue. He's usually quite punctual and cares about his job.
I might be off on a bender over at the Gold Archers.
One moment, please. Casey, can I do an insight check into that last fight that we just had to see if it felt suspiciously too easy?
Absolutely.
Oh no.
14.
With a 14, these bandits were easy. Very easy. And that guy who took off, you didn't notice it at the time, but was there a glint in his eye as he ran off?
Everyone on guard. I worry that the fight we just had might have been a trap of some kind. Weapons at the ready.
It's all right. I got my crotchet stick ready to go.
Roscoe.
Sorry.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, you said crochet. You get the puns is the problem. I'm like not smart. That was great. Thank you.
I almost rolled onto the next thing, and then much like that bandit, Senna's crotchet stick took me out.
Came back around.
It really took me out.
You round the corner of the front counter of Tacobal, the large wall. You round the corner, and inset into the wall, hidden from the giants, is a small crank wheel comprised of a bottle cap and pin. Roscoe motions for one of you to begin turning the wheel.
Well, I suppose that a noble member of the Queen's Guard would put himself in a position of greatest danger first, so I suppose I will do it.
And I will crank the... it lifts his, like, little mouse body up and, like, has to, like, bounce on it a couple times to get it to go down.
It's all right, Mr. Prince. I got your back.
Thank you.
As you begin to turn the wheel, the corner tile behind the counter begins to raise, revealing the path to Lower Tacobal. And you don't need to roll perception for this one. You all smell it as the tile gate is raised. The smell of smoke.
No.
You rush down the wide passageways towards town, quickly coming upon its wood block gates. When you left several hours ago, they stood as they always had, spelling welcome in giant. And now they lay collapsed in ruins. The soldier on guard, a chinchilla, lays near them, coughing and clutching their shoulder.
Benji!
Oh, thank heavens you've arrived.
Benji, you all right? You need some dust to roll around in?
What I wouldn't give for dust right now.
Susie, Lila, can you heal?
I don't know if I can heal yet.
I do not, actually.
I could just make a tourniquet out of yarn. That's about all I can do.
We unravel a little bit of Sinna's kilt to make Sinna's a tourniquet.
Sinna's kilt gets a little bit more, a little cuter, a little shorter.
As you are wrapping Benji's wound, Benji says,
we were attacked. Arcadians came roaring in on some vehicle of some kind, sirs. Smashed right through the gates. I tried to stop them, but they got me pretty good. I'm so sorry.
Vehicle?
Some kind of moving thing.
What manner of moving thing?
Had wheels. Bright colors.
Is it one of those heated wheels?
What?
I've seen these heated wheels. They have what look like flames on the sides.
Yes,
they sometimes
right.
have a larger one that has some sort of apparatus that the giants control. Did you see something that was large that controlled the thing?
No. Oh, I know what you mean. My humble knights, I know what you mean. It was larger than your wheels that were hot.
Benji, have they left already? Are they still here?
No, they left. I tried to charge after them, but given my shoulder wound, I couldn't make it very far.
Oh,
that's
you
all
poor
right. You've done wonderfully. Let's you're already attached to Cinna, so let's take you in, get everybody healed, and
come
see
along, friend.
What Her Majesty the Queen would like us to do next.
Yes, I guess this is sort of our state of being now. Is we're sort of attached, are we?
We'll be the best of friends.
Is Roscoe still with us?
Roscoe is still with you. Roll insight.
15.
Ooh. On a 15, you see his little lizard knees are knocking. At the mention of Arcadians, he perks up, eyes wide. And as Benji says, oh no, they're gone, he sort of, whew.
Well, we'd better get inside and help those poor, unfortunate, average, regular day civvies.
Excuse me, young man. As both the eldest person here and as the one who arguably has seen the most battle damage.
And she kind of does a little clawed finger back at her shell.
I would posit you must stay here to watch the gates as the rest of us go in and speak to the Queen and the others in charge of the realm. Someone must stay here in Benji's place.
Yeah, of course. Can't leave the gates unguarded in case they come back.
We need a big, strong reptile who is made of vim and vigor. Someone who has a great aptitude for bravery and heroism.
Oh, shall I go get one?
Prince Henry. Prince Henry, please.
Such a good burn.
Up top, Henry.
Thank you, Lila.
Up top.
Gives him a little smack. I can't reach, actually. You have to go.
Low down.
We've been over this. It has to be down low. Thank you.
We all know that Roscoe has nothing to prove, do you, Roscoe?
Huh. No, what? I'm obviously the most capable for this position.
Yes, quite obvious.
In fact, I'm sure if they even were going to come back, they'd see me and go back to wherever they're coming from.
Shaking in their boots, I tell you, my darling.
You're absolutely right. Thanks, you?
Susie. But it doesn't matter. I'm just one of your grateful constituents.
Yes, and only one of the most important elders in the community, but I suppose that goes without saying.
Susie does a little bow. Very slow, takes a minute to get down and then back up again. And then puts her arm around the prince.
Come, Prince Henry. I cannot wait to laud your wonderful, fantastic virtues that we saw this day.
And the second they're out of earshot goes,
young man, sometimes you get more flies with honey than you do with hot sauce.
Oh, yes, Elder, I suppose you're right, but... Oh, that lizard gets under my skin sometimes.
Yes, rather nasty.
He gets under his own skin. Sometimes he just kind of leaves it behind.
And leaving, exchanging Roscoe for Benji, you head deeper in. And coming upon Tuckhobel, you see it in ruins.
Have you ever wanted to own your own magical bookstore? Well, do I have the game for you? The Wanderer's Bookshop is crowdfunding on BackerKit right now. In this mixed media solo journaling game, you play as a wanderer with a burning literary question that the bookshop will help you solve. Guided by tarot cards and dice, you'll curate your own bookshop using both the cards and the dice, but also the books you're reading. I'm currently reading an epic sci-fi opera called Revelation Space, so I kind of wonder how that would impact the story. Now, I know I just said this is a solo journaling game, but you can totally play with others as well. You can do it with book discussions, trading book sources, or even writing leading notes in each other's journals. Want to find out more about the Wanderer's Bookshop? Head on over to the BackerKit page at tinyurl.com/wanderingbooks to check it out. And from one wanderer to another, I hope you find the answers you're looking for.
Hey, you! You don't look familiar. First time in this part of the city? I see that sneer on your face. Better wipe it off before I do it for you. This is home. This is the best place you could ever want to be. Whether or not this is where you meant to end up, you found yourself on a rather fortuitous street. You see that corner building down there? 3 floors up. Lamplight Investigative Services. Friends of mine, you ask. Loaded words you're throwing around this evening. Good people is what they are, though. Not a single one of them will admit to being nice. Something about duty, yada yada. A bunch of BS, if I do say so myself. Who am I? No need to worry your pretty little head about that. I'm sure my name will come up in time. But go, see for yourself, 3 floors up, gold-gilded sign. As for Mama, don't tell him I sent you. She'll know what to do.
All doors are just windows that we can't see through. You ever think about that?
We provide our patrons with anonymity.
Hello, this is Mama Amoretta speaking.
Lamplight Investigations, a Thirsty Sword Lesbian's noir mystery. Full season available now on QueerPG.
You head deeper in. And coming upon Tuckhobel, you see it in ruins. Houses of blocks lay in piles. There was literally a house of cards that is now completely collapsed. People are walking around in the now quiet chaos of these ruins, just looking for people to help. Among them, you see a familiar face. Dressing the wounds of a downed mouse soldier is an elderly rat. Long, flowing mustache and beard, thick-set eyebrows. A stump sits in place of a tail long lost in the Great War. But it is his freshly bandaged wound on his own forehead which draws the eye. This is Archimedes, advisor to the High Queen Lorinia and King Consort Hubert, archmage mentor to Lila, leader of Tuckhobel, and perhaps the oldest and gentlest soul in King's Court. Susie notwithstanding. He finishes dressing the wound and sits, holding the soldier's hand and speaking to him softly.
Master! Master! Master!
Lila toddles forward and puts her little spored hand on his forehead, trying to read telepathically what happened.
I'll give you a little bit. You get flashes of chaos. Of a large red and blue vehicle, a long trailer behind, comes smashing through the front gates. It stops in the middle of town, and soldiers clinging to its sides hop off and begin ransacking. At the head of the procession are two, they look to be lizard-like creatures. One spindly, fingers moving in unnatural ways. The other, a hulking, bestial figures literally punching down buildings with her fists.
Master, who are they?
My children, I will tell you these things. But first, I am glad that you have all made it back to us. I feared the worst for you in the den.
I believe those villains laid a trap for us, sir. They sent us out on a fool's errand. We laid them to waste in a matter of minutes. It was too easy. It was all too easy. And of course, it was just a distraction from what was going on here. I'm so sorry, sir. Are you okay?
There is no way of knowing. You cannot lay the blame at your feet. If blame must be had, it is mine. Let us not speak here.
He motions over someone else who begins to tend for this soldier, who seems to be slowly recovering. He rises to his old feet, clutches his staff, and begins moving towards one of the still standing buildings.
Cinna hops over and puts a paw up under Archimedes' other side and just kind of nuzzles up against him.
It's all right, mister. I got you.
Thank you, Valiant Cinna.
And together you all convene in this building.
Dragging Benji behind me still.
Benji too. Benji comes with.
You're that strong.
You know, Benji, even given the circumstances, you're much less of a drag than the last guy we had with us.
Hey, Benji, hold on a moment. Just a bit of a jape to lighten the mood, right? Just stand back for a moment and let Cinna keep walking.
Benji halts to listen to what you have to say, thereby putting your plan into effect. And Cinna, your kilt begins to unravel.
Cinna lets go of Archimedes to grab onto their kilt and then just trips over their giant feet and collapses to the ground.
Right, that's enough.
And you all head in. Inside, Archimedes sighs and slumps into a chair and says,
"It seems that dread magic still looms in the heart of Arcadia. We were raided. Two of the top generals in the Great War, the dreaded Hands of Arcadia, twin sisters, each ruthless in her own way. Cruenna, the Terrible. In the days of the Great War, she was known as the Right Hand of Arcadia, a barbarian known for her brutality in war. And then there's Lephedra, the Mystic, the Left Hand of Arcadia, a sorceress almost like to a ghost. So cunning was she in her ambushes and escapes. We had received word they had been destroyed in that disastrous final push by the Arcadians, wiped out by the giants, and yet..."
And he sits for a moment, and he says,
"And yet what worries me greatest is that the Great War was so long ago, and yet they had not aged."
"What is this sorcery?"
"What's age?"
wait a moment. Sir, do you know what they were after in coming here?
"We stood not a chance. They stormed in, defeated the guards, and they... They took the children. Marched through the houses. Took who they could. Liliana Greenwood. The Martin's boy. So many of them. Rounded them up and rushed away. Quick as they came.
What could they possibly want with our children?
I know not. But I fear some magic at hand. Arcadia has not stood on legs for years, but perhaps they have regained them.
Sir, have you gotten word from any of the other kingdoms? Do you know if something like this has happened to the Seers, to the Dillords, to... Blast, to Jackapenny?
I have not. I have only had word to send to our queen. I know only this is a great blow to King's Court.
Well, can't be a big blow for too long, because we're going to get those kids, right?
Of course.
We must.
May we request an audience with the queen?
There is not time. We have not time to gather our forces. They make their way for Arcadia. But the light of dawn is almost upon us. They cannot go far.
Would they be foolish enough to travel by daylight?
After what occurred in the Great War, they cannot risk it.
Well, I suppose we must then.
I cannot ask you to go on this, as you have just returned. But I know not who else to send.
Susie and me have been around the Giants before. We know their world. Laura here seems to know their language, so... Maybe between all of us and... Henry, well, you're more well-traveled than the rest. I don't know if there's anyone better suited.
Yes. Yes. If it is to be anyone... I would... more quickly put my trust in you than anyone else.
No.
Each of you have your own beginning, your own road that you have traveled, and yet you have ended up here. And for that, I am grateful. And so, if you must go, then there is one route there. He rises to his feet and says, "We must go to the Directory."
Oh.
And you all know of the Great Directory. It is a map of the lands of Maul. And so you journey to the far end of Tacobal, deep into the Under Maul. And there, laying on the ground, is the layout of Maul. He steps forth and says, "I believe there is one resting stop between here and Arcadia, exactly halfway here." And the layout of the Maul extends and then curves downward. At that curve, there is almost an island in the middle of the open terrain of Maul. He says, "The land of Kiosk, the bartering hub. It is here they will rest. You must head down to the Lake of Shimmering Waters and then east through the Middlewood and on to Kiosk. But beware. Kiosk pledges no loyalty to King's Court or to Arcadia. If it came down to it, you'd likely not receive help from its denizens. They remain neutral."
Didn't that total loser that we saw earlier go there?
He didn't even seem to really have an idea of what he was going to be selling when he actually got there.
I was quite worried for him, actually. That's why I thought perhaps he might want to join our society back when I left the realm of Hotopic, which is right across from Kiosk. I was not prepared for what the realities were going to be. in this land of Marl outside of Petlandia. It was quite a gift, quite a boon. It's nice when people don't choose sides when you need help, but not so nice when you, well, need help.
Sir, Archimedes.
Yes?
Is the land of Kiosk not frequently haunted by Dreadwing?
It's true. Lots of exposure there.
We will still go, of course, but I worry for the children being within his reach.
I have journeyed to Kiosk in my days as a young man. If it has not changed in the years since, it is a tower. Exposed on its upper levels, but its lower levels are guarded, secure. Though these Arcadians are wicked, they took care to capture the children. Likely as not, they would not want harm coming to them. And so you may even count on the Arcadians to protect them in this time. Only so far as their goal is met.
But Master, will you be okay here? 100%?
Well, we do have our valiant Queen's Guard, Roscoe, to remain behind.
Have you anyone else?
He chuckles and says, I understand the reputation that precedes our Commander Roscoe, but it seems that whatever purpose these villains might have, it is finished here.
So where is the rest of the Queen's Guard?
Likely as not still in the capital city.
Well then, we shall depart immediately.
But one of you must take this. And he produces from his robes a sword.
Ooh.
Made of a pin. And he says, this is the Telling Tack. It is but a regular sword, but in the presence of an ally of King's Court, it will glow.
Hey, hey.
And so I hope this will lead you to our children. And he hands it to you.
To who?
Whoever takes it.
Not it.
Nose goes.
I got my trusty crotchet stick. I'm all good.
Henry looks around at the other three expecting someone else to take the cool metal sword and realizes that they're not going to take it.
Lila has physically stepped out of the circle backwards.
It's one of those things where he's like, whoever shall take it, step forward. And all three of the other ones step back.
Come on, Mr. Prince, you know you want it.
You've been waiting for a metal sword, training so hard.
Henry squeaks a little bit.
Nope. Thank you all so much. It is an honor that I will take with great weight and dignity. And I take a knee and bow in front of Archimedes and take the sword.
He says, oh, no need for all that.
Of course there's need for it.
Archimedes hears like a soft whisper.
Now, just give the boy a little bit of pageantry. Surely he's earned it.
He smiles and whispers back,
quite right, quite right.
Henry is knelt on the ground with eyes closed and hands raised in front of him to accept the sword.
For too long.
For such a long
An
time.
An awkward amount of time.
Archimedes smiles and says, well, I may not bestow the title of Queen's Guard just yet, but I may bestow the title of Honorary Knight of Tocobel. And so with this sword, he taps you on a shoulder. I bequeath thee, taps you on the other shoulder, this title. And this sword, and hands it to you.
Some tinny hold music. emits from Lila's back of her mushroom cap.
There's like a speaker back there.
Like, you know, she adjusts her twisty tie blindfold and catches some kind of regal hold music tune.
Henry stands a little taller. 3 inches and a quarter has now become 3 inches and a half as he stands a little taller this day. The telling tack at his side, sword glowing in the presence of so many true allies of King's Court, and says, "Thank you, sir. I shall prove myself worthy of the honor which you have bestowed upon me this day."
"I know you will.
Don't you worry, Master Archimedes. Between me and Elder Susie and Sir Mr. Prince Henry and Miss Limerita, we got this."
Miss Limerita now.
he smiles and says, "Go now. Make us proud. Bring our children home."
Before we go, can Lila take Archimedes' hand, and she puts it to her forehead and says, "Master, do you have any advice?"
"Advice? Keep your eye sharp and your heart open."
"Thank you, Master." And she toddles after everyone.
And as you all begin to leave, Archimedes sets one hand, Susie, on your shell and says,
"Do look after the youngins. They have not life's hardships and experiences to draw upon."
"Yes, yes, I will always keep an eye on the young ones. I only wish that Cinna and I could have had someone to watch out for us. In those days, there are some things we can't unsee. And I wouldn't want that for Lila or dear Prince Henry. We will make sure that they are as safe as possible while not hampering their ability to have wonderful adventure and life-changing experiences."
"We cannot choose the things that happen to us, but we can help prevent those things from happening again."
"That we can."
"It is always good to see you, my old friend."
"You as well, Archimedes. You will always be dear to me."
Susie's eyes are very big, and they kind of are on, like, closer, further apart than close together. There's a patch of yellow on her face, except for the eyes, where it looks almost like someone has lined them with coal, with heavy eyeshadow and an eyeliner. And they well up a little bit as they pat Archimedes on the back as well and give him a little half hug.
Oh, he pulls you into a full hug. And so you all begin to head out. It is, as you're making your way towards the front of town, Cinna, you notice that you are still sort of dragging Benji along.
Right. Now, Benji, do you have any interest in coming along on an adventure with us, or should we get you right proper healing? We can get you one of those aided bands from the giants and just kind of wrap that around your whole body.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind a nice little sit down and just resting.
Sure, sure. You know what? I'll get you set up. I got a little suite with my friend. I'll go set you up in there. And Cinna hops over to their little hovel and pops open this hunk of plastic where there's this big display of a giant's home, but smaller than ours. Like, "This is my friend Polly, and this is her pocket, and this is where she lives with all her things and toys. Go settle down there. You'll be right as rain in no time."
"Oh, Polly, pleased to meet your acquaintance."
Benji goes and, like, settles in the tub and is like,
that's right nice. All that's missing is the dust."
And you all set forth. On your way out, you pass Commander Roscoe, currently at the gate. And he says,
"Well, Kicked out of Tacobal already. Can't say I'm surprised.
We got a special secret mission, actually.
What?
Henry says nothing but just puts a hand on the new sword.
Wait.
You know what? You keep those eyes peeled. You give him a good lick. Just keep a watch out. We'll be back once we finish our secret mission.
What? Like they'd give a secret mission to the likes of you.
You are so not on the list for the club.
As you're heading out, he's like, right? Right? You're not on a mission, right?
Lila, there's a club. That's exciting.
It's this one.
It's this one. Are we all in it?
Yeah.
It's our club.
Oh, it's so nice to be part of something.
And so you set out. Outside of the boundaries of King's Court, onto the tiled earth. Far before you, you see the Lake of Shimmering Waters in the distance, and you know that that is your first stop. From there, eastward, and then to the Middlewood, and then Kiosk. And so as you continue and you see the sky begin to lighten, you find yourself hurrying. There are no giants yet, but soon. It is a couple hours before you reach the Lake of Shimmering Waters, and by then the sky has turned to a pale yellow. The warning of dawn. And as you approach the shimmering lake, you know the vast wall that surrounds the lake, larger than you, and beyond, and near it are large shaded structures. You believe in giant speak they are called binks. You know not for sure, but you know that the giants sit upon them as they use this shimmering lake as a watering hole. And so you approach the closest bink, coming to rest beneath its slotted shade. As you rest here, has there been any passing conversation?
Elder Susie, you spent some time at the lake, right? This is where you met the good giants.
That I have, yes. I was on death's door, so to speak, when I found myself here, lakeside. It's rather beautiful in there. The giants like to throw large, round, metallic discs inside and utter a secret to themselves, a bit of mysticism among their kind.
Ooh.
Legend has it that if you are lucky, you will have some kind of treat or wish that happens upon you.
I suppose now is as good a time for luck as any. Do we have any sort of round metallic discs that we might be able to throw into the lake?
Susie rummages around, like in the back of her shell. There's like a little pocket.
Yeah.
And eventually pulls out a bottle cap.
Ooh.
This is something I was saving for a special occasion, but you may have it. Young Henry, please make yourself a wish.
Elder Susie, I couldn't possibly take your wish from you.
We could all put our hands in the middle and wish for what we want. It would be a group wish.
Oh, well, I like that quite a bit better. Lila, Sinner, would you like to be part of a group wish?
I'm so in.
I put my paw on it, but I don't really have any ideas. So hopefully someone else can do the thinking part.
All four of you, in your way, climb this tall bink, slowly making your way up and up and up past its slotted shade and farther up to its back, its peak. And as you look out the vast waters of the lake shimmer and shine before you, beautiful, just stunning in the light of the coming sun. You all hold your bottle cap between you. Is there anything you say in blessing over this?
Susie looks at everyone and puts her clawed little turtle foot on the edge of the bottle cap. Breathe in deep. Place in your mind's eye the thing that you want the most, the thing that you want to cherish, the wish you have in your heart. You don't have to say it out loud, but I will say mine to inspire you. I wish that we are able to go back to King's Court as heroes, people who have earned their place in our society for all time.
I wish that I could become captain of the Queen's Guard and settle down and one day train my 700 or 800 babies to be in the Queen's Guard along with me. I want to keep it conservative, not get too crazy about it.
That's beautiful, Cinna. Beautiful.
Seems like a reasonable amount, yes.
Lila sticks a little dried out mushroom hand onto the end.
I, want to know what it all means.
I want to know what you mean when you say things.
Me too.
Henry will put a paw on the disc and say, I wish to be accepted into the Queen's Guard. But not just into the Queen's Guard, into King's Court. To prove myself worthy of belonging there. I don't want to go back to Jacopenny. King's Court is all I've ever known, and I've come to know and love it well. And I think silently, part of that wish is that his father does not turn against King's Court and side with Arcadia as Jacopenny has done in the past, because that would put Henry in a very bad position.
Mm-hmm.
As you finish speaking, everybody feels kind of like a little tingle of magic under your hand or your paw.
Ooh.
And there's a little twinkle of lights as Susie kind of tries to imbue it with a little bit of extra oomph.
Aww.
For King's Court.
For King's Court.
For King's Court.
For King's Court. I'll leave it to the two strongest of us to use your mighty muscles and get it into the water.
Oh, Cinna, I've got an idea. I've got an idea.
Ooh, what's it? What's it?
Lila, will you help me hoist it into the air and then Cinna can kick it into the lake with their feet?
Ah. Of course.
Are you quite ready?
Yeah.
Right, one. Oh, we're going to go on go, not on three.
Yes, all right.
One, two, three, go.
Oh.
You boom, kick it with your powerful feet after it was launched into the air. It flips over and over and over high into the air. Beautiful, glinting in the light. And as it begins to fall, Cinna, you feel an arrow pierce your side. And you take 5 points of piercing damage.
I've been struck.
Cinna, get down.
On sacred ground.
You are all teetering on the edge of this. You look over and see a pair of archers have emerged from the seat of the Binch. Each of them arrows drawn. I need you all to roll initiative.
That was so not cool.
Dishonorable villains!
So, as you're doing this, a quick explanation of combat in Nimble. In combat, heroes usually go first, and we pick turn order based on the current situation. Each turn, the heroes have 3 actions that they can use, which reset at the top of the round. These can be used to attack, cast a spell, use a skill check, or move on your turn. However, you may also use an action as a reaction to defend, help, take damage for somebody else, or take an opportunity attack outside of your turn. These still take from the 3 that you have, so you cannot take 3 actions and a reaction. You can take up to 3 reactions, but then you can't take any actions on your turn.
the way that initiative works in this too, right, is that the initiative that we roll is basically that decides how many actions we have on the first turn of combat?
Yes. From there, let's hear the rolls.
That is a 19 for Senna.
Okay.
I'm a speedy.
I'm ready to attack.
Wow. All right, Senna gets two attacks.
All right.
Or two actions.
Lila got a 13.
All right, that is two actions.
Blast, Henry only got a 7.
That's one.
Susie got a 6, so one.
All right, and that...
Quite all right, Elder Susie.
And that is just one. So, let's actually go in the order that we've sort of already established. We'll go Senna, Lila, Prince Henry, Susie. So top of the order is Senna. Senna, you have just been shot in the side. One of the archers is restringing their bow.
All right. So,
or is, I guess, re-knocking an arrow.
Movement is an action, correct?
Movement is an action, yes.
Well, I'm not one to run from a fight, so I'm gonna hop as far as I can in the direction of the archers and come down swinging with my crotchet stick.
Okay. For ease of movement in this arc, we're going to use the simplified distances in Nimble. So there is near, middle, and far. In order to move from near to middle, that would be one movement. Near to far would be two movements, and so on. And so it would take one movement to cross between one of those. So it would take more than one action to get to someone far.
In that case, can I move to middle and then... Casey, can I...
Oh no. Shenanigans already.
Can I use my yarn to lasso someone and pull them in at me?
Oh, that's fun. Yes. I will have that be a skill check.
All right.
So I will have you roll a DC 12 finesse check to create an opening.
Ooh, that's only a 7.
Okay. So you lasso it. The archer is able to duck out of the way at the last second.
Get over here so I can hit you.
And that is your two actions.
That's right.
Okay, so we are on to Lila. Lila, two actions.
Great. Lila is standing at the edge of the bink.
Yes. Bink.
She's standing at the edge of the bink, and she takes her coffee stirrer and sort of motions in an X pattern repeatedly while she casts a cantrip, Razor Wind.
Ooh.
Nice.
Okay.
And that is a D4. Let's see.
Okay.
And she got a 4 that makes it vicious, a vicious attack. So I can roll an additional die because that's critical for this particular cantrip. And we can damage up to one more target.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Freaking
good. All right.
2 4s in a row.
Whoa, let's go.
Yeah, so Lila is making this X part pattern in the air and is channeling nature. She's channeling the HVAC system.
Yes.
A vent is positioned perfectly over where she is standing.
It's crazy how that works out.
It's wild, actually.
It just does.
And a gust of air conditioning hurtles towards both archers.
Ooh, fantastic. This blast of freezing cold AC whips both of them, and they both take 8 points of damage, you said?
I think it's 4 each.
They both take 4 damage as this cold wind whips them.
Y'all need to chill.
Next in the order is Henry.
Right, for the queen! And Henry will charge at the archers to try to get in close melee range.
Fantastic.
With wielding the telling tack.
It does not glow.
That's not unexpected.
I should think not.
Susie, it is your turn. You have one action.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to try and use my hex power to apply an affliction.
Ooh. Okay.
That's a 2, so I don't fail.
Okay.
I'm going to use Withered. The target's first attack each round against a friendly creature is made with disadvantage. So ooh. I point at the one that's the closest to Prince Henry, knowing that Cinna can more than handle themselves. And I kind of point like a wizened and clawed finger, and I whisper an incantation. The rest of you would probably, it would sound like gobbledygook, but it's really just, and I won't sing it here because of copyright, but it's really just song lyrics to a Susie and the Banshees song.
Oh, nice. Yes.
That archer is set at disadvantage for the first attack each turn, which is right now, actually.
Great.
So now it is the archer's turn. Both of them drop their bows and pull out swords.
Oh.
Now that you are close range, they are going to attack at close range.
Well, all right. I wasn't expecting that.
Well, you already hit me once. Let me get one in.
One is going to go towards Henry, and one is going to go towards Cinna. The first one that attacks Henry is... Ooh, I need to look at disadvantage. Disadvantage works differently.
Oh.
I think it's just that the primary die that you roll, you would roll twice and take the lesser like you would in D&D. A primary die in Nimble, though, is when you are rolling... It's the only die that you're rolling, like a D20. That's your primary die. Or if in the case of like you're rolling a weapon that's 2D8, it's the leftmost of those dice. So, like, if you rolled a 1 on your primary die, that's when you would miss.
Okay.
I think it's also worth mentioning that in Nimble, whenever you make more than one attack in one turn, each of those subsequent turns after the first one is made with cumulative disadvantage, just because you're attacking over and over again.
Gotcha. Okay, fair enough. Great. This one pulls out a sword and goes to slash at you, Henry, and rolled a 4. So you are going to take 4 slashing damage.
Ah! Well played!
And then the other one is going to attack Cinna. And that is, man, you, even without disadvantage, it is a 2. Oh. So you take 2 slashing damage.
Ooh.
I'm still in rough shape.
Cinna, you're not doing well.
I could take another hit or two, but not that much.
Top of the order is Cinna.
Stop hitting me. It's time for me to hit you. And I swing down with the crotchet stick.
Ooh, go ahead.
That's a 7.
7 points of bludgeoning damage, you said?
That's right.
Oh, damn.
You crack down. And then what do you do for your other two actions?
Well, as a Zephyr, I'm allowed to keep hitting with unarmed strikes without having to worry about disadvantage.
Whoa.
So I'm going to come at him. I'm going to come at him with a paw and hit again.
Okay.
Damn.
Go to town.
And that is another 4 damage.
Yeah, this one is starting to look not great. Mm. He's starting to look bloodied.
You know what? Let's see if I can finish the job. And hit him one more time with another paw.
All right.
Come on, Cinna.
Oh, that's a 1. That's a fail.
No!
Oh, no!
And you, the last punch soars past. And he goes, heh, heh, heh.
You're laughing, but you're severely injured.
So are you.
So? Back off!
Great.
Brilliant repartee.
Next is Lila.
Oh, man. Lila is still standing on the bing.
The bing.
And
it just gets really more into the ch every time.
She is channeling the air. She is trying to commune with nature once again, and attempts to zap one of the archers. Which one is not as injured?
That would be the one next to Henry.
All right, yeah. Lila is aiming to zap the one that's trying to attack Henry.
Okay, go to town.
She aims her coffee stirrer and lets it rip.
Another electrical socket. They keep putting them near the fountain, which is a little nuts.
That's a 9.
Whoa!
Big hit. Yeah, fantastic. This bolt of lightning arcs from underneath the bank between two of the slats and just lights this guy up. You have two more actions.
Yeah, I guess she's going to go for another Zapparoonie.
Yeah, zap these guys.
All right, that's an 11.
Oh my god!
It says 2d8.
Overkill. That's amazing.
It says 2d8 on the thing, so I...
Holy cow.
That's so good.
Woo. Yeah. Do it up.
This time, the lightning arcs to the water and bounces a few times before it comes back and hits this archer in the back.
There we go.
Bounces off the bottle cap as it hits the water.
Ooh,
horrible. You have one more action if you'd like to spend it.
Oh my god.
She's not feeling great.
She's gonna reach to the sky and razor wind one more time. Another big gust toward them both from above, and that's a 2.
2 still hits.
Oh, it's only to one of them. I'm sorry.
Okay. Which one would you like to do it to?
The same person. Don't you lay a finger on Henry.
He's wobbling. Like, he's wobbling on his feet. It's rough out there. Next in the order is Henry.
Right. Well, Lila, that was incredible. Thank you so much.
And I think Henry will first attack with the telling tack. Right, that's 7 slashing damage.
Okay.
How
do you dispatch him?
I think Henry is a mouse of footwork. So I think he steps in one direction, lunges at him, steps in another direction, feints like he's going to lunge at him, waits for the other fella to lunge forward, and then kicks him into the pool.
Ooh. That's a mouse after me own art.
Thank you. I learned that from you, Sinner.
He slips through the slats of the back of the bench and boom into the water. He's gone.
Right, next up, and then is the other one right next to me, or would I have to move to get to this other one?
He's nearby.
Okay, cool. So I can hit with a melee attack without moving?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, Sinner, coming to help.
Thank you.
Can't do much for healing, but I can hit him with a stick. And I am going to, I think I'll attack again, even though it's with disadvantage. Seems to be doing well here. Oh my god, that was 2 8s!
Yeah!
Yes!
11 damage on that second one.
Oh, wow. Oh, this dude is wobbling.
Right.
He's rough.
And then I will roll a DC 12, let's say insight check, to try to create an opening.
Okay.
Oh, that's very bad. Henry is very excited about having just attacked with this new sword, and I think gets a little bit lost in the sauce and rolled a 2.
Oh, buddy.
Does not open. He is wobbling.
Damn.
And that is your 3 attacks or 3 actions?
Yes, it is.
Fantastic. Susie, it is your turn.
Susie looks at the bottle cap as it is slowly sinking into the water and sees her friends laboring to try and get away from these terrible brigands, and summons a rage inside of her. Magic crackles in her hand.
Woohoo!
And she rolls a 1.
No!
Magic crackles in her hand, and she seethes with anger. But out of the corner of her eye, she sees a shadow, kind of a light across the dome, and is like, what is that? And then is on high alert and kind of misses her moment. Do I get to go do the rest of my things even though I fail?
Absolutely. You still have 2 actions.
Okay, and so if I do this next action, because I didn't do the first action, am I at a disadvantage?
I think you are, because even if you miss an attack, any consecutive attacks still impose disadvantage.
She sees the shadow above her and for a moment has a little bit of a flashback. The sharp, shrewd eyes of that macaw, its wings moldy and kind of haggard looking. The molt seemed to be off
in this bird and this creature. Its squawks used to pierce her ears in the middle of the night. For a second, she kind of cowers in fear until she thinks about all of the other people that she is fighting for. I got 2 twos, so that technically is a hit.
Still hits.
She opens her eyes and unleashes that ball of power, and it hurtles toward this other creature and nails it in the shoulder.
How do you dispatch him?
The energy kind of runs through his shoulder for a second, and I think it takes a moment for the creature to realize that something is happening, and then its eyes go wide and it drops to the ground, motionless.
He drops not only to the ground off the bank, falls to the ground below with a thud, and then arrows fly up from the slats beneath you. All of you feel these arrows whoosh past you, and there are more beneath the bank. But before you can address this, Susie, you stood in fear of that shadow, overcame it, but that shadow didn't leave. Roll a perception check, and I'll give you this one for free.
That is a 21.
You fired your bolt, took care of this guy, and then cast your eyes upwards to be sure. And you are sure. For up in the rafters, high above you, there is a shape, clawing its way along, hooked beak, delving into the path before it. Wings of bright blues and yellows, coat of blood red feathers. It's him. This is Dreadwing, mad macaw of Petlandia, and terror to all of Maul. And as you watch, you see him spread his wings, and he dives. He swoops down. You see a flash of blood red, and then he is beneath the bank. And you hear the screams. And now the thought occurs to all of you. How do you get out of here? You hear the screams, you hear the silence afterward, and then they... tapping of a beak. And then the words in giant. You can't speak giant, none of you, except Lila. Lila... you hear its words, its call as it screams,
"Where are you? Where are you? Where are you?"
Lila hits the deck.
Lila, what's it saying? What's it saying?
Where are you? Where are you?
We must hide.
And as you all wonder what to do next, you hear the call,
"I will find you."
And that is where we'll pick up next time.
Oh, no! Heck no!
I'm a tortoise. Oh. I have so much time left. I'm too young.
Heck
please.
No.
Thank you all so much for playing. Well, thank you all so much for listening. It has been a lot of fun to produce this. I will actually turn it over to our guests real quick for any plugs. Jen and Candace, plug away. What have you got?
Yes. Hello, everybody. You can follow me, Jen De La Vega, on Instagram at Randwitches or at Family Party Catering. You can also listen to me on Fun City, which is a Shadowrun tabletop role-playing podcast. Mm-hmm. And we are at funcity.ventures.
Fantastic.
Hello, everyone. My name is Candace, also known as Candace Magnificent, also known as Candace McAfee, if you like voice acting stuff and audio dramas. you can find me at the Candace Marie on Blue Sky, at Candace Magnificent on Instagram, and pretty much everywhere else. I am one quarter of the podcast Three Black Halflings. We do intersectional nerd content as well as APs, so please check us out if you'd like to hear more. And I also have a new show out soon on Bad House. That'll be twitch.tv/ Bad House RPG. It is called Lost in Reverie, and it is in a love letter and an homage to 80s fantasy games and fantasy media. So if you like Labyrinth and Legend and Neverending Story and all of that, please come by, check my socials to see when we will be premiering.
Perfection.
Amazing.
Thank you so much for listening to the first episode of Mage Hand High Five, Legends of Maul, Treachery of the Rat King. We want to give a big thank you to our official sponsor, Nimble, a fast tactical RPG, for helping us out with these episodes. And I would highly encourage you to head on over to Nimble's Kickstarter to grab discounted hard copies of the game. Or if you prefer, head on over to nimblerpg.com to get PDFs of the game and get a discount with the code MHHF. Want to show your support for our show? Want to hear us talk more about it? Then check out our Patreon at patreon.com/magehandhighfive. We've got a $2 tier if you just want to show your support. $5 a month gets you all kinds of extra goodies like homebrew content, early access to merch, and a whole second extra podcast, Mage Hand Download, where we talk about the behind the scenes of the episodes. Then, if you really want to go the distance, our $10 tier includes all of the above, plus monthly live streams and creative content from the cast that you can't get anywhere else. Check us all out at patreon.com/magehandhighfive. Shout out to Jacob Kirstner for our music, Shane Smith for our logo, and Fjell, aka Under Pale Water on Instagram, for our cover art for Legends of Maul. Check out our website at magehandhighfive.com and look for us all across social media. We're on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Discord, Blue Sky, and wherever else we may be, we're going to be there at magehandhighfive. Go to your podcatcher of choice and throw a 5-star review our way. We can play catch like a father and son, and we'll have a lovely bonding experience, and we'll all go away with the memories, and it'll be so sweet. And now I'm going to shout out all of our original and up high subscribers over on Patreon, and I'm going to do it in one breath. Wolfwing Pup, Working at the Romantian, Yes Robin, the whole thing including this, Michael Carey, Marinette, Multi, Azure, Luke Sharples, Miranda Couple, Jay, Theo Elves, White, Lindsay, Dale Heimbecker, DM Dippyfresh, Jarl Zelda, Deborah Jacobson, Jackson Maurer, Ocarina Sonata, Mads the Jellycube, Morgan Faber, Kathleen Ayers, Kellen Wilbur, Trout Relief, Patrick Hickman, Debbie, Nathan Ritter, Chicken, Too Tasty, Evan Noon, Avery Spar, AM Lovelies, Allison DeVevis, Dust Carpenter, Diana Bacon, Alphor, Stokey, Liz, Carrie Lee, Jonathan Gunn, Tyler Gardner, Alden Soul, John Pang, Laura Hickman, Alex, Sammy Richards. Okay, I've done better. I know I've done better. I'm working on it. Give me a shot. Tell your friends about the show. Tell your foes about the show. Tell the sweet little animals that are crawling around in your house. They're not your pets. They're just living there, near you, close by. They're so small. You can hear them scratching away at the walls inside somewhere. They're deep inside. They just want to reach you. They want to get to you. And when you do, use the hashtag MHH5. And hey, how about a high five?